Welcome back to the Gospel Sports Truth Podcast. I'm your host, Zay, the fantasy football fiend, and along with me, I have my guy, BK Wins. How are the people, BK?
Hey, everyone.
So, yeah, it's a whole lot going on in sports, and we want to talk about most of it. So we're going to have about the next hour of your time doing just that. With that being said, remember, you can also watch us on YouTube at The Gospel STP. Again, that's The Gospel STP. And if you have not yet joined the Facebook group, join the Facebook group, The Gospel Sports Truth Facebook group. So, BK, there's a ton of stuff going on right now. What's the good word of the week?
Well, before we get into that, Zay, I have a special shout out. You know, okay. last week, you know, my parents were in town, and today is a very special day. It's my dad's birthday. So I know he's a friend of the show, mostly because I make him. No, just kidding. But I just wanted to wish him a happy birthday. I hope he had the best day, and I'm glad I got to spend a lot of time with him while he was here. So that, well deserved.
I just learned something, BK. Your dad's birthday is the day before our second best fan, is my wife.
Oh.
Yeah, her birthday is, when this show airs, it'll be her birthday. So happy birthday, Ebony. Love you, boo.
Happy birthday, Ebony.
My biggest fan for sure. We'll give your dad the moniker of the number one fan of the show just due to seniority. But she's definitely number two.
How about we just say they're both amazing? We appreciate them.
Absolutely. And I hope that both of you really, truly do enjoy the day that you deserve.
Absolutely. All right. Well, back to the show. So it was a big week in the NFL for quarterback Brock Purdy. He signed a 5-year, $265 million deal with $181 of that guaranteed. My question for you, Zay, is, did the 49ers get this right, and what does this mean for Purdy moving forward?
There's a couple of schools of thought. In my mind's eye, did they get it right? He's nestled in right where a lot of other quarterbacks are kind of getting paid, so they didn't get it wrong. But can you win with Purdy getting somewhere in the neighborhood of $53 million a year? Probably not. You didn't win when he was making like $2 million. So what makes you think now that you got to pay him $50 million a year and you can't pay all the other players that you were paying before, you're going to get better? Like, Purdy now has to be the reason why you win versus just being a part of a good team, because the team isn't going to get much better now that he's making that kind of money in comparison to the money that they could throw at people to be mercenaries and maybe come and join the team for a year or two. Or they could be that landing spot for a veteran that just wanted an opportunity to win, but also wanted to get paid. They had the extra money to do that. They don't have any of that now, which is why they had to let go of so many people this offseason before they can make him that offer, because they, I guess, would rather attempt to fill in other pieces via the draft than that particular piece. The way that I look at that part, though, is you got him with he was Mr. Irrelevant. So you have a track record, theoretically, of being able to find pieces when need be. So I believe, this is a belief, not a fact. This is my personal truth. You'd have been better off, and BK, you gotta know it pains me to say this, okay? They'd have been better off pairing Aaron Rodgers for a couple years and drafting somebody versus being stuck with Brock Purdy. Not to indicate that he's a bad QB. He's not. But the way the 49ers have been successful has been by not paying the QB. That's just what we've seen from that team going back many years at this point. So that's kind of where I am.
I can see that I'm already going to be the Scrooge of the show, and it didn't take long. I hate this move for the 49ers. I've not been a Brock Purdy fan for the last couple years. He's, for me, here at the end of I've been wanting them to draft somebody or sign somebody or do anything but go with Purdy. Here's the deal. You knew this contract day was coming, and I know quarterbacks hate this moniker, but he is the definition of a game manager. And you're paying a game manager $53 million. to your point, he has to be the reason now they win games versus their elite defense in their running game. But this is a terrible move for the 49ers. They literally just took money and lit it on fire. And they could have spent that money in so many other different ways. They would have been better off drafting a quarterback that way, although they did miss with Trey Lance. But in any case, you know, they
could have picked Shedeur Sanders at any point in time in the draft all the way up to around the sixth round. So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
There's that for free.
And even though I don't like this name anymore and I wish it would go away, at least for NFL terms, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, he would make sense on that team. They have a really good team. He's a proven quarterback. You know, he loves to play out west. That's something that was important to him. It makes sense for so many reasons. But this contract is terrible. I don't use this word often, but I hate it. That's how bad it is.
I mean, I can't be mad. Now I'm looking to see what happens with Shanahan and with, what's the GM's name? I can't remember.
John Lynch.
Yeah, Lynch. Because here's the thing. If you couldn't put it together when you weren't paying a quarterback out the behind, good luck trying to figure it out now. Like, life just got a whole lot harder, and you don't have more pieces to play with. So, what we got up next?
Well, staying in the NFL, there was a rules update this week. So, little controversy on the docket was the tush push. Would it be reinstated and upheld? And the answer is yes. In overwhelming fashion, the tush push will stay. What's your reaction to this rule being upheld? Or play?
What you do about nothing? It should be. Like, don't change the rule. Like, I hate when leagues change rules to stymie a particular team or player. We've seen it in the NBA. We've seen it in the NFL. We've seen it pretty much in those two more than others that I can think of in the moment. But I can't stand it. Like, beat it. Stop it. But don't change the rule to get rid of it. Like, make them not go to that play anymore because it's no longer working. You remember when it was all the rage for everyone to do the Wildcat quarterback? You know why everyone stopped raging with the Wildcat? Because defense has figured out how to stop it. That's all you got to do. Figure out how to stop it. They'll move on to the next team. Until then, they deserve whatever advantage they have by having, first of all, the offensive line to be able to run the play, the quarterback to be able to run the ball, and the consistency to be able to do both of those things together. So, yeah.
No, I agree. I agree. Yeah, to me, to use one of my favorite phrases, it's much ado about nothing. Literally only two teams are really using this play anyway. The Eagles are the most notorious for doing it with Jalen Hurts, and the Bills have kind of copied it with Josh Allen. So we're literally trying to change a rule for two teams, really? Like, and how many times a game, and you know me, I'm a numbers person, right? So how many times a game is this really happening? For the twice maybe a game it's happening for two teams, we're worried about a play for four times a week in the NFL? Like, get out of here. You got better things to worry about. How about, like, officials getting calls ready? Oh, sorry, did I bring that up again? All right, turning to the NBA. So we've talked about this on the show before, but, you know, the Suns announced and are actively shopping superstar KD. He came out and is eyeing a trade to the Rockets. You know, they were the surprising darlings in the West this year as a two seed that came out of nowhere. What impact would KD have on the Rockets becoming title contender?
None. None at all. He had the same impact that he had on every other team that he's been on that wasn't already a champion. Not going to make them a champion. Not to mention the fact that it's not like he's going to go there for free. So you're going to break up the team that did it without him to bring him in? Because if you thought Phoenix was just going to give him up for a bag of Doritos, you thought wrong. So I don't see how the Rockets get better you still you mess around and mess up the locker room by trading away the leadership that you have in there for a guy that's really good at basketball but has absolutely no desire to be a leader. However, I will say this. The other side of the coin is it is a possibility that that particular coach may get more out of that particular player than any other situation he's ever played in, even though he's further along in his career. It would also stand to reason that because that particular coach is in that locker room, you may not necessarily need a player leader. So I can see how that could possibly work out based on the personality type and temperament of Kevin Durant. But the long and short of it, they wouldn't be very much better or worse than they were this year.
Yeah, I think, I mean, look, anytime you add KD to your roster, it's never going to make you worse, right? Like, they're going to be better, but how much better? They already won, what, 52 games? So they win 55 or 56? Like, I don't think it, well, from a roster standpoint, they'll be better. It's not like that's the piece at this point in his career and his relative injury risk that he's going to be the kind of player that's going to carry them to a championship at this point.
So he doesn't play defense.
Well, right. He doesn't play defense. He's only a year older. And the only time he's ever won a title is he had Steph in a loaded roster already. So, you know, he didn't get it done in Oklahoma City. He didn't get it done in Brooklyn. He didn't get it done in Phoenix. Like, you know, I don't know how many more times that the narrative needs to happen before we already know, we've already seen this movie.
Kevin Durant is a great basketball player. It's time to take him out of the conversation of one of the greatest.
For sure. Well, continuing the NBA, I don't know if you watched this game last night, Zay, but wow. You know, I had a bet on the hockey game last night, and I literally got distracted watching the fourth quarter here because we had an instant classic in the association last night. Eastern Conference Finals, Game 1, Pacers, Knicks. The Knicks were up 116-102 with 2.5 to play, only to blow that lead and lose in overtime. And a fun fact, Zay, and for all of you out here, dating back to the playoffs in 1998, teams that trailed by 9 or more points in the final minute of the fourth quarter overtime were a staggering 0-1,414.
Wow.
Prior to the Pacers' stunning comeback in Game 1. Did you see this, and what did you think? And honestly, what does it mean for the Knicks? Because they wear out their starters as it is. They literally had to work overtime, and they blew a game they should have and had to win, really. What do you make of all this?
Don't hear what I'm not saying, BK. Was I surprised that it happened? Genuinely, yes. While at the same time, should we be? Isn't this what Indy does at this point? I mean, like, how many times does a team have to do something before you realize it's kind of what they do? We may not like the fact that they look like they've been beat through three quarters normally, and then out of nowhere, it's like, oh, okay, time to play a game. And then they win. If they could do that from the beginning of the game, they'd be blowing teams out themselves. With that being said, for the Knicks, Tibbs, sir, you've forgotten more about coaching than I've learned. With that being said, sometimes you can be so far into the room that you can't see the corners anymore. You're too centrally focused to see the forest for the trees. You cannot be Indy playing run-and-gun basketball. It is not going to happen. You're playing into the hand. You're going to have to slow the game down, play defense, play a post game. Don't let them run and gun. So that way, they can't go on these tears that take you out of the game. When you go from your style of ball to theirs, it's when they make these large runs because you can't do what they do better than them. I'm a novice observational basketball fan at best. So far be it from me, again, to tell any professional how to run a team. All I can tell you is what I see and what I saw. That's kind of where I'm at with that matchup. And with that being said, I will also say, matter of fact, I'll hold that because I think you're about to ask that in a couple of seconds as far as predictions for the series. But yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you know, obviously we've seen one game of OKC and the T-Wolves and one game now of the Knicks-Pacers. How do you see those series? Like, what is your prediction? Who advances to the finals?
OKC in five? I still like the Knicks in six. They only needed to win one game at home. They lose this next game at home, that prediction can turn around to being Indy in five real quick. But right now it's Knicks in six.
So in the West, I like OKC in six. I think the Thunder will advance to the NBA Finals. As far as, to me, it's more of a toss-up in the East with the Knicks and the Pacers. I think the series is a lot more even than people will give credit, only because from a starting lineup standpoint, the Knicks have a decided advantage in the starting rotation, but I'm really concerned about what this does to the Knicks moving forward. Again, blowing a 14-point lead when they had a 99.8% probability to win at the point they did. Again, 1,400 times, this scenario happened since 1998. No team had ever blown that lead till the Knicks. Leave it to the Knicks. And then the other part is, despite the fact that they didn't control the tempo like they needed to, everything went right for them until the last 2.5 minutes. Brunson had 41. Towns had 35. He was terrific. You know, they got everything they wanted to get out of this game other than the most important thing, which is the W. So I'm going to take the Knicks in seven. I'm going to tell you I don't like it because the Pacers are just like the neighborhood cat that just won't go away. And, like, they just keep coming and coming and coming. And I'm going to reluctantly take the Knicks only because of two things. They do have the better starting lineup, and so I think that will prevail. Again, it prevailed yesterday for the first 45 minutes of the game, right? And then the other part is, despite losing home court advantage in game one, they started with home court advantage, and I think that they'll be able to get that back. So I like them to get it done.
The only thing that gives me pause, although, like I said, we both chose the Knicks for the series. Sometimes when you take that type of a loss, when there aren't very many things that you can put a finger on that you could have personally done better as a player, when you look at the Knicks' two best players on the court, sometimes that can kind of leave you scratching your head. And it also puts you in a spot where you aren't comfortable with the lead, and the other team is comfortable no matter if they're in front or behind. So we'll have to see how this plays out on the court, but also the psychological aspect of the advantage that the Pacers now have from that standpoint as well.
And then a quick look at the on the ice here. We're down to the Frozen Four, the Panthers and the Canes. In the Eastern Conference Finals, a rematch from a couple years ago. And then we have, obviously, the Stars and Oilers in a rematch last year's Western Conference Finals. Currently, the Panthers and the Stars have one game to none lead. What is your prediction? How do you see these series going? Who's going to go to the Stanley Cup Finals?
I'm going to pick one team that currently has the lead in the series and another team that currently doesn't. I see the Panthers going up against the Oilers, and I see the Panthers winning it all.
You know, I got to tell you, Zay, you really pay attention when I talk on this show. For two months, I've been talking that there's going to be a rematch of the Panthers and the Oilers. And I will tell you, because we're in the congregation here and I have an obligation to tell the truth, I think the Stars are a better version of themselves than the team that got beat last year. I think they're a more dangerous team, and they do have home ice. And they did come back from 3-1 down to net 5 third-period goals to take game one.
You love that happening again.
But here's the thing. For two periods, the Oilers were the better team. Coming into this, they'd won 8 of their last 9. And the Oilers have the two best players in McDavid and Draisaitl. Now, they don't have the goaltending for sure, which is a problem. In fact, they have the worst goaltender of the four remaining teams. But I like the Oilers to return to the Stanley Cup final. As far as Florida and Carolina, we'll hear a lot more about them later on.
Okay. It is time. Actually, not quite time. One more thing in the good word of the week. We did have a major champion over the weekend. World number one Scottie Scheffler won the 2025 PGA Championship at Quail Hollow for his now third major. He also won the 2022 and 2024 Masters. So how are we feeling about the pantheon of things in the PGA right now as far as Scottie Scheffler is concerned? Is he going to continue his road to success, or is this just kind of the right course for him to win on it now? He's number one overall right now as is. So does he continue down that same path, or can you see him cooling off a little bit?
Well, he's been so good for the last couple years. And, you know, the big takeaway for me, and this is no shade directed towards him at all, but it actually surprised me that this was only his third major. And I'm not diminishing his greatness, because he's been terrific. It's just that he's been so dominant and wins so much. I would have expected it to be a higher number than 3. But that said, he's a terrific putter. He's mentally tough. His ball striking is phenomenal. He won this week not playing his best the first 2 rounds. He kind of hung around until he caught fire in round 3. It's a sign of how great you are when you don't have your A game, your fastball, and you're still able to win going away. It's just his margin. We talk about in sport, your margin of error. His margin of error is so much bigger than everyone else on tour that he doesn't need to be his best to still win. That's how great he is. I do expect him to win more. Rory just won his 5th at the Masters to complete the career Grand Slam. I expect him to catch and pass them. That's how good he is. And congratulations to him as well, because it's hard. I say this all the time in sports. It's hard to win, and he makes winning look easy, but he played
one of the most difficult sports at that.
Correct.
So now it is actually time for our truth and nothing but the truth. With that being said, first up, should the Mike Tomlin era in Pittsburgh end?
Yes.
What are your thoughts? Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Here's why. I'm going to do some things that some of my friends don't like. I'm going to ask some questions and answer them myself.
Okay.
Here they are. Do I think that Mike Tomlin's overall done a really good job at Pittsburgh over his long tenure? Absolutely. He's a really good coach. He's had a lot of success. His team doesn't fall below 500. They make the playoffs. He stabilized them. He's a great leader. His team does things the right way. You don't hear anything negative in the media about him. He's a first-class guy and deserves all the credit he gets. So the question you're going to ask is, well, that's great, BK. Then why are you so willing to get rid of him? And it's because no matter how great you are, or how much success you've had, sometimes at some point your voice gets lost in the clubhouse or in the locker room. He's been there too long. And make no mistake, as soon as he's gone, someone else will snatch him up immediately. And well, they should. But the Steelers, it's kind of like the Yankees in baseball. It's a different playing field when you're that great. Six Super Bowls changes how the expectations are. And when you have six titles and you're used to that greatness, who's won two or three playoff games the last 10 years? That can't happen in the Steel City. Just getting there, there's no participation trophies there in Steel Curtain Land. They've got to do better. And I'm sorry, it's just, it's a results-oriented business, and they're just not winning enough when it matters.
A couple of schools of thoughts on this, and two things can be true. I do believe that you can have a successful situation going both ways. If Tomlin were to leave, you could have a Andy Reid type of a scenario, leaving the Eagles, going over to Kansas City, depending on where he went. There are a couple of teams that I think are right on the precipice that he could, with his tutelage, take over the top. I believe the Buffalo Bills is a Mike Tomlin away from actually being able to beat Kansas City. Who Pittsburgh would replace him with, that's another question altogether. I wouldn't even necessarily attempt to replace him in year one because, close your ears, Pittsburgh fans, you need to have a losing season so you can hit the reset button. You really do. You don't have very many tradable assets because of the way you go about doing business. You normally build from in-house anyway. But because you also are normally a middle-of-the-road team, but you just happen to have, you know, a winning season, that means you're also not picking close enough to the front end of the draft to be able to get the impact players that you need to be able to fill the holes on your roster. You're going to need a year or so of that to be able to catapult yourself forward. So I do believe, again, that two things can be true. And in this case, I do believe that Tomlin isn't the actual issue, but Pittsburgh could do better and Tomlin could do better. Another thing is, get rid of Arthur Smith. He sucks as an offensive coordinator. Atlanta's offense was horrible when he was the head coach. I don't understand how he keeps getting offensive coordinator jobs unless his dad is just paying people off, the owner of FedEx, just in case you guys didn't know. But yeah, like he's just not good at his job. Like, I'm going to need Pittsburgh to, at some point in time, kind of break the mold of what they do. They get troubled wide receivers who turn out to be great, and then they trade them for pennies on the dollar. This has been the modus operandi for the last decade for Pittsburgh. And it's just, at some point in time, you got to turn the page. And although you haven't lost, that isn't necessarily the biggest pat on the back when not losing is what you're known for at this point, versus being amongst the best and being a winner. So that's where I'm at with that one.
What we got next?
After their second round exit, what can we expect from Boston?
Well, this is a really good question because I think we were all surprised that the Celtics bowed out so early in the playoffs. Most of us had them going to the NBA Finals. They're the defending champions with a loaded roster. And with Tatum and Brown, you figure that was going to be a deadly combination for anyone in the East to deal with. But that's why we play the game, right? Because these things happen. And we saw two upsets, right? The Pacers dismantled the Cavs and the Knicks took care of Boston. I think you're going to see a lot of change, right? They have new ownership. How committed are they going to be way above the second apron with their roster? The first thing that I would do if I were them is I would trade Porzingis. He just doesn't fit that team dynamic, and he makes too much money for a player that doesn't fit that team well. That doesn't mean he's not a good player. He is a good player, but he doesn't fit that team well, and he's a lot of money against the cap that they could use elsewhere. The other player that I would look to trade if I were them is Derek White, because even though he's a hell of a player and I love everything about his game, the truth is he's a 32 and he's an old 32, if that makes sense. So meaning that while his age is 32, it seems like he's really older than that because of the mileage on him. I would trade both those guys and clear up some cap.
I'm gonna add another name to the list. I'm putting Tatum out there on the block. Here's the thing. One of two things would have to happen. You either gotta move Brown or you gotta move Tatum. The reason I say that though, and the reason I would go Tatum is because I would rather someone else take the risk of him coming back and being the same after the injury. Achilles injuries can kind of be sort of tricky. We don't know what effect that's going to have on his overall game. But I would rather someone else take that risk. I would also like to free up enough money that possibly, just maybe, Milwaukee might be interested. If they're going to kick the can on Antetokounmpo, maybe he wouldn't mind becoming a Celtic. I can have him, Jaylen Brown, and then fill in whatever pieces around there. I might trade Derek Wright and Tatum and Porzingis if I can. All to Milwaukee. I know the salaries don't quite work out, but and trading is a little bit different in the NBA than in other sports where the salaries you have to match with. I'm trying to go to teams like Miami and Milwaukee and some of these other areas where they don't really get a lot of veterans that want to go there. And they're also in need of additional guys to either replace or add to what they have. But you have a recent championship. You have a new owner that is going to be reaping the benefits of that recent championship while at the same time, I don't know that I care enough to pay out over $300 million in salary. That's just a bit much when other teams are getting where you got on half of that. So,
well, to wrap up the truth and nothing but the truth, this is by far my favorite subject of this segment. So, in WNBA news, Angel Reese discusses retirement amid racial disrespect from the NBA, stating, and I quote, "They don't respect me because I'm black." Say, where do you stand on Reese's emotional remarks?
I understand where she's coming from, even though I don't 100% agree with her statement. Why can't I agree with her statement? There's plenty of black women in the WNBA that get plenty of respect and not close to the amount of vitriol that you get. Apparently, you're doing something a little bit different. Here's the thing. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't want to be a villain, but then be upset when you're villainized. And she's getting that Draymond Green treatment. But she hasn't embraced the role. But you have to understand that the reason your name rings bells as it does is because of the quote-unquote rivalry between you and Caitlin Clark. And like it or not, for those that don't actually pay attention to the game, the lowest hanging fruit are the racial overtones. Those people don't need a reason to disrespect you. They're just going to do it just because. And I just caution Angel to really do a little bit of self-reflection and ask, you know, first of all, do I want to change what I'm doing? Because you're honestly one of the most popular women in the sport, even though I don't believe you're one of the most talented. Not poo-pooing your game. You're good at what you do. I would make Angel Reese at this point tantamount to, and don't hear what I'm not saying. She's heading down the path of being the Dennis Rod of the WNBA. And that's not a bad thing. Like, you're a defensive player, you're going to get the rebounds. You're going to get putbacks, all that kind of good stuff. We can't run the game through you because your offense isn't quite good enough. But you're going to get a lot of the vitriol that, I'm sorry, in some instances you deserve. But what I caution the general public to do is actually watch a game and talk about what you saw versus going for the low-hanging fruit. Because there's a lot more going on here than race. And Caitlin Clark is my favorite WNBA player, and the Fever is my favorite WNBA team. Aaliyah Boston is my 1B to Caitlin Clark's 1A. So, yeah, I just sometimes you got to be careful what you ask for because you just might get it. It might involve a few things that you didn't bargain for.
Yeah, so I'm going to approach this from a couple different things. I absolutely understand, appreciate, and for the most part, agree with everything that she said. To your point, well, before I get to that, one thing that I'm consistent about is I can't stand double standards. And if the situation was reversed, and say it was Caitlin Clark, there would be, I think, a much bigger outcry, and there would be a different way of this would be viewed in the realm of public media and social media. So I absolutely understand where she's coming from. But I also think that, to your point, Zay, when you want to be a villain, you can't get upset when you are the villain or become the villain. And personally speaking, and she is not going to want to hear this, but this is the truth, a lot of this would be fixed if she changed her attitude and demeanor on the court. You can't act the way you do on the court. You can't behave like that on the court and not expect negative pushback. Just the reality of it. And the other thing I'm going to say is this. When you're a professional athlete, and we know the intense scrutiny that social media puts on any public person in this day and age, it is unfathomable the amount of pressure that is like. But I say all that to say that the best course of action, if she wants this to go away, A, she needs to have more mental toughness, because you can't worry about things you can't control. People are always going to talk about you, good, bad, or indifferent. You can only control your part. Control your actions on the court. Let your play do the talking for you. Don't be involved in all these back and forths and incidents and pushing and shoving. And it just seems like every time she plays Caitlin Clark, and even different games, like, there's always something to do with some action she took in the game or some incident she was involved in, even if she wasn't the perpetrator or instigator of it. Her game, her goal should be two things: winning, because you're paid to win games, and two, not being the story, being a good teammate, being a good player, and showing out, because Angel Reese can play this game for all the reasons you mentioned. She can play this game at a really good level. Her game's only going to get better, but she's got to take ownership, look within, and say, you know what? Yes. Are the things I said true? Is it hurtful? Yes. Is it unfortunate I'm going through all those things? Absolutely. But I need to do better on my end. And she, in some of these situations, has no one to blame but herself.
Same page. Same page. And she's like 22, I think, maybe. She'll get it at some point. I mean, wealth without wisdom can be a recipe for disaster. So these kids are having to live their life literally out loud. There's nowhere you can go where someone isn't recording you or attempting to get their 15 minutes by poking the bear. So, I mean, they got a lot of stuff to deal with that a lot of others don't. So she'll figure it out. And she and the game will be better for it.
Agreed.
So I believe it's time for the all-time top five of something. And this week it happens to be lessons that I learned from my parents.
Geez, I wonder where I got this idea from.
Were you reminded after your visit from this week?
I may or may not have had a few come to Jesus talks during the visits from my parents.
So, number five for you. What are we looking at?
Number five. But before I give number five, I'm going to go to the official Zay playbook, and I have an honorable mention. I learned from the best. What can I say? Honorable mention, and you know this list is going to be good when this is the honorable mention, and there's only one. Judge people for how they treat you, others, specifically their mothers, but also strangers, but never judge people on race, looks, or materialistic things. So that is the honorable mention to the list. But my number five is, I've heard this so much growing up. Learn from your mistakes while avoiding making big ones. You know, my dad used to always say, it's okay to make mistakes, but what you can't do is make really, really, really big mistakes that end up ruining your life. So that's my number five. What do you got?
Number five for me, if you said it, be man enough to stand on it. That goes with a lot of different things. Whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, stand on business. Stand on your word. Whether that be a faculty of honesty, or whether it be simply being man or woman enough to repeat what you said when the person is in the room. However that may go down, be man enough to stand on your word. Number four for you, BK.
Nothing in life worth having comes easy. You know, my parents and relatives, they all have tremendous work ethics. And it was instilled in me from just being a kid. You want to be good at school? Work at it. You want to be good at the sport? Work at it. You know, I used to hear all the time, I used to not hear practice makes perfect. I used to hear perfect practice makes perfect. And so you get out of things what you put into it. But just know that you have to trust the process and you know, deal with the grind of it. So that's my number four. How about you?
Number four for me, only scared people lie. Babies and scared people lie. So again, it's one of those things. The truth is the truth. Be man enough to tell the truth. First of all, my memory is too bad to lie. Like it's not that deep. I'm not going to remember the lie. I don't care enough about, this is going to sound bad. I don't care enough about your feelings about the truth to tell a lie in most situations.
Ladies and gentlemen, his email address is.
I'm just saying, like, the truth is the truth. Like, and if you ask for the truth, then you should be prepared to receive it. Like, I don't know. I would prefer to tell an inconvenient truth than to tell a convenient lie, because it's going to catch up. So tell the truth or just hold your tongue. Like, don't say anything. Leave them wondering before you tell a lie. Because why? Like, what are you doing? Go ahead, BK. Number three, please.
I was wondering how far you're going to dig this hole. So, you know. Number three. This is something I also heard specifically from my dad growing up as well. Always be respectful to women. And so that's a huge thing that was instilled upon me throughout my life and something I've never forgot. In fact, I've heard the words uttered to me at home. I never want to ever catch you not following that rule, because you're not going to like what happens if it happens. So
same page on that for sure. Number three for me, if you can't afford to lose it, don't loan it. Pretty simple words to live by. Because I'm a big believer in, if I loan it, I'm going to have the expectation that if it was a loan, that you're going to give it back. That's what a loan is. But I'm also not going to be upset if it doesn't work out that way, because I'm not going to loan you more than I'm willing to lose. I don't want to put that, in most cases, that relationship or friendship, if you will, because I don't have a whole lot of in jeopardy over something that can be regained, if you will, in some other way. So you can't afford to lose it, don't loan. Number two,
my parents were big on the golden rule. Always treat others how you want to be treated. I heard that a lot. And they used to always combine that with, it costs nothing to be a good person. So that would be my number two. How about you?
I am actually going to throw in an honorable mention, piggybacking off of that, before I go to my number two.
Sure. Hit us.
The platinum rule. Treat others the way that they want to be treated. Because the way you want to be treated might piss somebody else off. Like, the way I want to be treated more often than not is left alone. That may offend someone else. So treat people the way they want to be treated.
It sounds like you were in our leadership meetings these recent times.
Hey, man. Hey, I mean, some stuff just makes sense. And that just makes sense. Number two for me, your queen will determine the comfortability of your castle. If you treat your woman like a queen, she will ensure that you are treated like a king. So going to your number three, I believe it was, respect and the way you go about treating the women in your life says a whole lot, and that will determine a whole lot as well. So, yeah, that's number two for me.
I love it.
Number one for you, BK, what you got?
This is something I heard so many times throughout my life. There is nothing more important than one's health in your family. If you don't have your health, you have nothing. And family should always be a top priority. So that is my number one. And again, happy birthday, Dad. What is your number one?
Number one for me, put God first and it'll all work out. That's just, it made sense then, it makes sense now. Why attempt to shoulder a load that you don't have to? Leave it at his doorstep, walk away, and be happy with whatever the intended result was, because it was already predestined prior to you being here. So put God first and it'll all work out. That's where I'm at. Number one for me. And that wraps up the all-time top five this week, lessons I learned from my parents. Now, BK, it's time to win us some money. What you got, my guy? BK's best bet.
So over the last 14 months, we've won a lot of money together, and that's not going to change. So I have a lot of things for you. We're also going to go over some future odds, just some things to think about. And Zay, I'm going to get your thoughts on some of these as well. But let's start with the best bets.
Okay.
Two of them are going to actually be WNBA plays. First, Paige Becker is -375 to win the Rookie of the Year. I don't think there's any question, barring injury, that she's going to win Rookie of the Year. I feel like this is stealing. The odds are only going to get higher, meaning it's going to be more than 375. She's come out of the gates playing really well. She'll win Rookie of the Year. That's best bet number one in the WNBA. Number two, you'll also like this one, Zay, because she's a Carolina girl. Asia Wilson, +200 to win Defensive Player of the Year. Do we really think there's anybody that's going to take Defensive Player of the Year away from her? I can't see it. And to get +200 odds, again, I'm going to say what I said before about Beckers. I feel like I'm stealing. So those are the WNBA best bets. As far as in other plays, I don't get credit for these, but just to kind of give you an idea where my mindset was, I've been in game one of the Eastern Conference NBA Finals. I had a best bet for Brunson, or a personal bet, I should say, Brunson over 28 and a half points plus the total of over 229. I know that seems probably risky to some of you because of the Knicks like to slow it down, but the Pacers are so good at forcing tempo. We're going to ride that train again in this week's best bets for game two that will be Friday night. I like Brunson over 29 points. He had 41 in game one. Yes, it went to overtime, but for the Knicks to win this game, make no mistake, they need to win this game. Brunson's going to have to be big time. He did win Mr. Clutch in the NBA this year. He'll get 29 mostly because he goes to the line a lot. He's great at, he gets a lot of points with the clock stopped. So that's the NBA best bet. And then also, I mentioned this was coming earlier, two hockey best bets. We know the Panthers are up 1-0 in the series. I told you last week to take the Panthers money line to win the series against the Kings. They're up 1-0 in the series. It's not too late. The price has gone up a little for those of you who didn't listen last week, but you can still take the Panthers to win the series. Carolina's lost 13 straight Eastern Conference Finals. They got swept by the Panthers a few years ago. They got hammered in game one at home. This team wants nothing to do with the Florida Panthers. Plus, the other thing with Carolina, they didn't get challenged in the first two rounds at all. They had a cakewalk to this. The Panthers had to survive the Maple Leafs in a tough seven-game series. Give me the Panthers series to win and the Panthers money line in game two. Those four bets are this week's best bets. I do want to run over the odds with you, though, Zay, because a couple things that I made note of and I was curious. So the NHL title odds coming into game two of both the Panthers and then the Stars Oilers series. Panthers now plus 160 to win the cup. Stars plus 200, Oilers plus 350, Canes plus 500. You guys already know by my own thought process, the Canes are already eliminated. For me, it's a three-horse race. Panthers versus either Stars or Oilers. NBA Finals MVP, Zay. SGA minus 220, Halliburton now plus 700, Brunson plus 900, and Ant Edwards plus 1,100. I only bring that up in real quick. Two things that I want to get your thoughts on because you know how my mind works on this. First, WNBA MVP odds. Way too early for me to have a bet, but something that caught my eye. Caitlin Clark plus 110 now as of Thursday morning, May 22nd, just for those of you out there timestamping this. Collier plus 300, Asia Wilson plus 375 to win MVP. The other thing, Conn Smythe Trophy odds. Rantanen plus 300, Connor McDavid, who won for me, plus 750 last year, plus 450. These two I want to draw your attention to. Goalie Sergei Bobrovsky started out at 14-1. I placed a bet, a small bet at 14-1, also on Ottinger, of the goaltender of the Dallas Stars. I placed a small bet on this as well, kind of hedging bets. Bobrovsky was at 14-1, then went 8-1, now 5.5-1. Ottinger started 20-1, then went 12-1, and is now 9-1. So you can see that the betting public is starting to catch up to my thought process here. And then the other part of this is Draisaitl, one of the two superstars on the Oilers, plus 1,200. Are any of these WNBA, NHL, or NBA, any of these grabbed your attention, Zay?
Pardon the pun, but we're on the same page with Paige. Brunson, I like that. Here's the thing. If the Knicks get past the Pacers and there's some type of a way that they end up beating OKC, which is the matchup that I'm looking for, I don't see how the MVP could be anyone else but Brunson. So I like the odds there. Like Paige, like Asia Wilson with the +200. Here's what I don't like, BK. Here's what I don't like. And maybe you maybe you can kind of help me out here. It seems too easy. It seems too right. Like, is that a faculty of thinking too much into it? Or is this a, it is what it is, it feels right, let it be right? Like how do you, as an up-and-coming or novice wager, kind of weigh the, hey, is this going way too close with the public and the public generally loses? Or do I have the right thinking cap on, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I think there's a, from a novice gambling perspective, I think there's a mindset, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Right.
The reason why this really resonated with me was Asia Wilson's a superstar. We all know this. And you know the Aces are going to be well motivated after last year not winning the title. They're back to their chance for a three-peat went up in flames. So much so they made a pretty significant off-season trade to bolster their roster. I just think that Asia Wilson, from a talent perspective, is the best player in the league. And I feel like she's able to impact the game on both ends of the floor, and that team is going to be motivated. It might take them some time to gel because of the trades and things that they did. I just think, much like the Beckers thing, I'm going to stick with what I said. It's stealing. These just seem like, it's almost like Vegas hasn't caught up with Asia Wilson to like Paige Beckers. Like, to me, I expected the odds to be similar, where they would be sizable favorites. But they caught up on Beckers. In some books, she's -400. So, you know, it's even, you know, more of a favorite than the 375. But yeah, I like Asia Wilson all day on
that. And maybe it's because the level of competition for the same award, if you will, there aren't many rookies that can compete with a healthy Paige.
Correct.
There's several vets out there, really good defenders. So maybe because there's less of a feel is why it's +200 for Asia Wilson on the Defensive Player of the Year versus where we are with Paige. Again, just a novice observation, if you will. All righty. So it's time to wrap it up, BK, with this week's Can't Miss Weekly Rant. As per customary, so you want to go first? You want me to go first?
You will have the honors.
All righty. So for me, this one will be kind of quick. And that's exactly what I expect and hope from the NCAA going forward. Quick decisions. Because it didn't take you any time at all to say, yeah, that whole ranking thing where no matter what your conference is, as long as you win it, you're top four, we're scrapping that, not doing it anymore. Be that active when you see a wrong. Fix it as quick as you did that going forward with everything else. I'm not mad at the change. I can see it. I can see the wisdom in it, but I can also see some of the flaws. But we're also within 2 years going to have 16 teams in the playoffs. So there won't be very many teams that have the footing, to complain, because who cares if you didn't make the top 16 at that point? I mean, like, no one's going to be fighting for you at that point. Like, you didn't have much of a chance of doing much at that point. You're talking about three lost teams and things of that nature. Now, in some cases, it may be a team that maybe had some people come to the forefront during the season, or maybe there was an injury early and somebody came back, something like that. And those would be compensating factors. So that's one of the reasons why they were basically like, okay, we're going to just do rankings, and wherever we rank you, that is what it is. I'm okay with that again. I just ask that you be as decisive and quick moving as we proceed to whatever the next changes may be. That's it for me, BK.
I'm going to go back to something I talked about a few weeks ago. We're going to talk about our old former Yankee friend, Juan Soto. So for those of you guys who have missed this, there was a Subway Series not too long ago between the Yanks and the Mets in the Bronx. Won, of course, by the Yankees. And there were numerous reports by people in the know that Soto already regrets his decision to go there. And that, and I quote, "The only time he smiled, or the most he smiled, is when he was back at Yankee Stadium hanging out with Judge and Aaron Boone." So it's appropriate on my dad's birthday to use one of his sayings. Be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it. It's now come out that Soto actually wanted to stay with the Yankees, but his family put pressure on him to sign with the Mets because they felt a better connection with Mets ownership than they did the Yankees.
Didn't it come down to like a which team gave him a suite?
Yes.
Okay, well, you get what you pay for.
Here's the thing. As a player, I love Juan Soto. He was a big reason why our Yanks made it to the World Series. Yeah. And he was terrific in the postseason, especially against the Guardians.
Yeah.
However, in fact, I think he single-handedly got Class A into a tailspin that caused him to get demoted from his closer job to start this year. But be that as it may, Juan, I know that you signed a long deal there, but there's opt-outs. Every day that you step on that diamond, I need you to think about how you're going to get back to the Bronx, because you belong in pinstripes, you were great in pinstripes, and it's okay to admit it, you made a mistake. Because I can assure you, playing for the Mets, you're not going to have any fun, and you're certainly not going to win anything. That's the truth.
And that wraps it up for this week. Make sure you tune in for the Gospel Fantasy Football Show on Wednesday, and we will be right back to you on next Friday. But for today, that wraps it up. And remember, good people, always tell the truth.
And nothing but the truth.
We out.
Later, y'all.